You are listening to the life of Jesus Christ in a year from the visions of Anne Catherine Emmerich from Tan. I'm Father Edward Looney, and each day I will be reading and offering commentary to guide you through Anne Catherine Emmerich's magnificent mystical revelations. In addition to listening, you can follow along with the four-volume hardcover set of the life of Jesus Christ and biblical revelations available from Tan. Before we get to today's reading, though, let us ask the intercession of our venerable author. O blessed Anne Catherine Emmerich, devout and pious follower of Christ, who patiently endured the frailty of this mortal condition, who humbly received the honorable marks of Christ Jesus on your hands, feet, side, head, and chest, the marks which you were blessed by the Lord to witness for yourself in his own sufferings, we graciously ask for your intercession with God, that we sinners may be forgiven of our sins and be drawn more completely into spiritual communion with Christ, our Lord and our Savior. We ask this in the name of the Most Holy Lamb of God, through the intercession of Holy Mary, our Mother. Amen. Today is day number 185, and in this episode, we will continue reading from Volume 3. Today, we will read number 13, Jesus Walks on the Sea. Peter's bark with the apostles and several of the disciples was delayed during the night by contrary winds. They rowed vigorously, but were driven to the south of the proper direction. I saw that every 2 hours little boats with torches were sent out from either bank. They bore belated passengers to the large ships and served in the darkness to mark their direction. As little sentinels, they were relieved every 2 hours. They were here called night watches. I saw these boats changed 4 times while Peter's ship was being driven south of its right course. Then Jesus walked on the sea in a direction from northeast to southwest. He was shining with light. Rays darted from him, and one could see his image reversed to the water under his feet. To walk in a direction from Bethsaida, Julius to Tiberias, almost opposite which was Peter's ship, Jesus had to pass between the 2 night boats that were rowing out into the sea, one from Capernaum and the other from the opposite bank. The people in these boats, seeing him walking, raised a long cry of fear and sounded a horn, for they took him for a phantom. The apostles on Peter's ship, which in order to find the true course was guiding itself by light from one of these boats, glanced in the direction of the sound and saw him coming toward them. He appeared to be gliding along more rapidly than an ordinary walking, and whenever he approached the sea, became calm. But a fog rested upon the water so that he could be seen only at a certain distance. Although they had once before seen him thus walking, still the unusual and specter-like sight filled them with terror, and they uttered great cry. But suddenly they recalled the circumstance of Jesus' first walking on the water. And Peter, once more desirous of showing his faith, cried out again in his ardor, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come to thee. Jesus replied, Come. This time Peter ran a greater distance toward Jesus, but his faith did not yet suffice. He was already close to him when he again thought of his danger and on the instant began to sink. He stretched out his hand and cried, Lord, save me. He did not, however, sink to so great a depth as the first time. Jesus again addressed to him the words, O thou of little faith, why dost thou doubt? When Jesus mounted the ship, all ran to cast themselves at his feet, crying, Truly thou art the Son of God. Jesus reproved them for their fear and little faith, gave them a severe reprimand, and then instructed them upon the Our Father. He ordered them to steer more to the south. They now had a favorable wind and made the journey quickly, taking, meanwhile, a little rest in the cabin under the rower's stand around the mast. The storm on this occasion was not so violent as that of the preceding, but they had got into the current of the lake, which in the middle was very strong, and they could not get out of it. Jesus allowed Peter to come to him on the water in order to humble him, for he knew very well that he was going to sink. Peter was very fiery and strong in believing, and in his zeal, he wanted to give a testimony of his faith to Jesus and the disciples. By his sinking, he was preserved from pride. The others had not sufficient confidence to wish to follow his example, and while wondering at Peter's faith, they could see all that, although it excelled their own, it was not yet what it ought to be. At sunrise, Peter's ship put to on the east side of the lake at a little hamlet, consisting of only a couple of rows of houses between Magdala and Dalmanutha. The hamlet belonged to the latter. It is this place that is meant when the gospel says, into the parts of Dalmanutha. Mark 8:10. As soon as they perceived the approach of the ship, the inhabitants began to get all their sick ready, and they came to meet Jesus on the shore. He and the disciples healed in the streets. After that, he went to a hill at a short distance beyond Dalmanutha, where all the inhabitants, Jews and pagans, assembled around him. There he taught upon the 8 Beatitudes and the Our Father. He also healed the sick whom they had brought with them. This little place was near the ferry, and in it the toll was paid. The people in general were occupied with the transportation of iron from the iron city of Ephron unto Basan. This was the point from which they shipped iron to all other seaports of Galilee. From the mountains, they could see over it into Ephron. From this place, Jesus embarked with the apostles for Tarichaea, which was situated from 3 to 4 hours south of Tiberias. The city was built on a height, a quarter of an hour from the seashore, down to which, however, were houses scattered here and there. The shore from this point to the efflux of the Jordan was bordered with a wall, strong and black, upon which a road extended. It was a recently built city, very beautiful and of pagan architecture, with colonnades in front of the houses. In the marketplace was a beautiful fountain, protected by a pillared roof. Jesus went at once to this fountain, and thither flocked the people with their sick, whom he healed. Numbers of women stood veiled with their children at some distance behind the men. Pharisees and Sadducees were standing around Jesus, among them some Herodians, while he discoursed upon the 8 Beatitudes and the Our Father. The Pharisees were not slow in bringing forward their accusations, which, as ever, turned upon the same points, namely, that he frequented the society of publicans and sinners, that he attracted after him women of bad repute, that his disciples did not wash their hands before meals, that he cured upon the Sabbath, etc. Jesus cut them short and called the children to him. After curing, instructing, and blessing them, he presented them to the Pharisees with the words, "Ye must become like unto these." Tarichaea was less elevated than Tiberias. Quantities of fish were here salted and dried. Before entering the city, the traveler met large wooden frames upon which the fish lay drying. The country in these parts was uncommonly fertile. The heights around the city were covered with terraces full of vineyards and every variety of fruit trees. The whole region, as far as Thabor and the baths of Bethulia, was, beyond all conception, blooming, teeming with abundance. It was most generally known as the land of Gennesareth. Toward evening, Jesus left Tarichaea and sailed with the disciples across the lake in a northeasterly direction. He taught while on the ship, but only of the Our Father, and this time of the fourth petition. When alone with them, Jesus always prepared his disciples for his public, more elevated teachings. This concludes our reading today, and now we reflect on what we have just listened to, what we have just read. The story of Peter sinking in the water. I think it's one we all relate to. Because at times we have been like Peter, a strong and zealous faith. We want to run out to meet the Lord, but then maybe there's a little bump and we begin to doubt. For Peter, when he maybe stopped looking at Jesus, or when he began thinking, am I really doing this? Well, that's doubt and questioning. And so that's when he begins to sink, and Jesus saves him and pulls him up. We heard a great teaching, exposition on this from Ann Catherine Emmerich. Jesus allowed Peter to come to him on the water in order to humble him for he knew very well that he was going to sink. Peter was very fiery and strong in believing. By his sinking, he was preserved from pride. The others had not sufficient confidence to wish to follow his example. So we have Peter's faith, a zealous faith, ready to go out. Contrast that with the others in the boat. They're not ready to follow Peter. Now, Jesus didn't tell them to come and follow them, but would they have gotten out? What makes Peter so ready to walk on the water? I don't know the answer to that. But we know that Jesus has prepared Peter, James, and John, that different experiences that they had with the Lord, that they were kind of singled out. So Peter has had special training from the Lord. And of course, we know that Peter is the one that has this great faith that says, you are the Christ. You are the one that was proclaimed by the prophets. And he receives the keys to the kingdom of heaven. The Pharisees then, they continue to attack Jesus. Think about all the people in the world today who attack Jesus or who attack his church or who attack the faith. This has been happening since the time of our Lord. People questioning and doubting these things, wanting people to question and to reject. But we have to embrace and to receive and to believe ourselves. Says at the end of our reading today that he taught while on the ship, but only of the Our Father, and this time the fourth petition. When alone with them, Jesus always prepared his disciples for his public, more elevated teachings. So he kind of gives them, you know, the appetizer. And then as they're with him in the public teaching, they get all of it. But what they hear in that public teaching, it's not the first time that they've heard it. Repetition is the mother of learning. They continue to learn these things because what's going to happen? They're going to be sent out. They're going to have to teach others and proclaim this. And Jesus wants to make sure that they get it right. Well, this brings us to the close of today's reading. I hope that you'll join us again tomorrow as we continue making our way through the life of Jesus Christ and biblical revelation. Please be sure to subscribe to the podcast and sign up for email notifications at emrickpodcast.com and use coupon code ACE25 for 25% off your next order at tanbooks.com. And if you don't mind, please share this podcast with others, share it on social media, email it to your prayer group, text a link to your friends. Let them know you're listening and encourage them to, so you can have holy conversations about what we're hearing and reading from Anne Catherine Emmerich. Until next time, may God bless you and Mary pray for you.